Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Get the Answers to Life's Questions, a show that was developed so that you'd have a place to go to get the answers about the questions that you have about your life, about why things keep happening to you, about what you have been creating. So if you have questions, then this is your opportunity. So give me a call. The number is 646-716-5045. That's 646-716-5045. So today's show is about stories. Stories is something that we all have created. Everybody has stories about their lives, stories about why things happen to them, why they happen the way that they do, the reason behind whatever is going on in their lives. And we are the ones who make up these stories. Although we also often make up the story that we're not the one who made up the story, that we are this way because of somebody else or something else. Because we don't like to accept the fact that we actually have that much power, that we actually do create what we experience. And so that's the purpose of our stories. My guide has been showing me a lot of stories lately, and she had me reading stories. And even in the stories, the people who were the characters would often say things like, you know, this is only happening to me because this is what I believe. So in a way, my guidance was showing me that even in the stories we create, we recognize that we are the ones creating the stories. So they want us to start looking at our lives and looking at our stories, looking at what it is we are creating to experience for ourselves. And you notice that there are often certain themes in stories. Like there are often, if you're looking at a fictional story, there's often a character who's in control. And that character is the one who's always supposed to know, you know, exactly what's happening and why it's happening, because they accept the fact that they are the ones who are in control in the story. And there are a lot of people whose lives are like that. they have created, that they are the ones who are in control. They are the ones that you go to for the answers. They are the ones who are the powerful, strong ones. And it's funny, if you watch a lot of different movies and television shows, and they show you the person, you know, the strong one, the one who's always in control, that person always has, like they have a different side, another side. And, you know, it's part of the whole duality thing of life. But that person also has some place that it's safe for them to be weak. And for some reason, what pops into my mind is, you know, those powerful men who determine what goes on all throughout the world. And then they show their private life and they're tied up and begging some woman who's wearing leather and 12-inch heels and carries a whip. And during that situation, they have no control. Well, our lives are usually not quite that extreme, although they can be, but we do live with duality. Even if you are the person who is in control, there are some times when you don't want to be in control, but you also don't want anybody to know that you're not in control. And so you build that into your story. In your life, you know, you create that you are always the strong one, and that you can never show your vulnerability, your weakness, your humanness. And so when you look at your story, you find that there's a lot of times that you are very much unhappy, that you don't feel understood, appreciated. And part of that is because of the story you've created that says you can't let anybody see your vulnerability. You have always got to be the strong one. So my guidance has been showing me all of these stories so that I could look at the stories that I created about my life, about who I allow myself to be. And I can see that to some extent I was, and occasionally still am, one of those strong ones, one of those ones in control, the one that everybody expects to know exactly what the answer is to every question. This makes me laugh when I think of the name of the show, because that is part of who I had created myself to be. Now, I like to think that I've given up so much of that, and I know that I have to a great extent because I did used to be a bit of a control freak, but now I'm okay with people doing whatever people do, and hey, you know, that's their life, their choice, and I don't really have anything to do with me. But on occasion, I still want to be the one in charge, at least in charge of my part. Now, I don't need to be in control of everything, just the parts that's mine. I guess they're weaning me back, slowly but surely. But it's showing me what it is that I haven't let go of. And I hadn't let go of that whole belief that I was supposed to be in charge, that I was supposed to have the control. And, you know, there's nothing that makes you more aware of how much control you don't have than when something happens to someone that you love. So the whole incident with my mother and the fire, that is such a wake-up call to me, to show me that I really did not have control. And also that I did not need to have control, and that it was okay for me to just be me, and to be vulnerable, and to be scared, and to talk to my guidance, and to trust. So there were a heck of a lot of lessons in all of that, and I'm still learning some of them. Now, it's not that I'm still learning some of them, it's just that I'm becoming aware more and more of them. That's better. Because that's what it's about. It's about awareness. So they want us to look at our story. And the story is anything that you tell other people about you. So if you're one of those people that when you meet someone, okay, you say, my name is, and your name is part of your story, in case you're wondering. And this is what I do, this is my family description, you know, this is how I make my living, this is how I enjoy spending the time when I'm not working, you know. We have so many stories about our lives. And the stories are just, and the stories are created based on these different attachments that we have. Like the attachment to being in control. You can base your story on that. Or you might have an attachment to getting approval from other people. And that makes for some interesting stories. People who are always looking for approval make their decisions based on what they think other people are going to react to. The whole fashion industry is based on getting approval. The designers create things hoping people will approve and buy them. The advertisers present these things to us. And sometimes they present it in a way that says, oh, yeah, it's already been approved, so you might as well go get it. And sometimes they present it as, don't you think this is nice? Don't you approve? Why don't you go get it? But it's based on that need for approval. And that's something that we're taught throughout our lives. We teach it to our children. You may not even be aware that you are teaching it to your children, but you do. If you are rewarding your children for doing what you want them to do, and you're teaching them to need approval. Because if you get approval, then you get the reward. Now, some people teach, you know, the, what is the wording? The reverse psychology kind of thing, you know, where they only notice when your kids do something bad. Well, you're still teaching them the lesson of approval, but you're teaching them the lesson of disapproval as opposed to approval. Teaching them that approval is something you really don't want, because that's going to actually get you into trouble. But it's still all based on that same belief that you have to have other people's approval in order for you to be good enough. In order for you to be loved, to be valued, to have attention, to have things. So much can be based on that whole belief about approval. And so we incorporate that into our story. And another big thing that we incorporate into our stories is a need for security, for survival. And with this one, depending on how you were raised and what was going on in your family, if you came from a family where there was never enough, then you were taught that you have to do whatever is necessary in order to survive. And for some people, what was necessary to survive were things that were considered to be unlawful, criminal, whatever phrasing you want to use. And for some people, the things that were necessary for their survival were that they had to completely and totally give themselves away. to become totally at the mercy of someone else. It was life or death. If you didn't do it, you were going to die. And we were taught to be afraid of death. Although if things get bad enough, then you're supposed to be okay with going ahead and embracing death. So you can see that there's a lot of different beliefs tied around each of these major things. You know, needing to be in control and being afraid of being in control and wanting to be in control and wanting not to be in control and to have somebody else take the control. It just has so many different aspects to each and every one of these things. And then the last big thing that has a lot to do with our stories is the whole separation, connection kind of thing. And you can see how each one of these also ties into the others. So nobody's doing just one of these or just one side of it, because you're doing both. Got the control going on. There's a part of you that's also got the I don't really want to be in control going on. And the last one is about oneness and separation. So we want to have a connection. We want to have a connection to each other. Some people, you can see that they are just desperate to find someone to connect with. That always makes me think of the people who are out there looking for their soulmate. They want so desperately to find that one that is going to show them that they are loved, that they are a part of a couple, that they are not just out there on their own. And then there are many people who have decided that they want to go the separation route. They don't want anybody connecting to them. They don't want anybody dependent on them. They don't want anybody to have anything to do with them. The people who live alone. And yeah, people live alone by choice. Everything's about choices. And so they try to get away from everybody. And sometimes they live out in the middle of nowhere with no one else around, because they want to be separate. And sometimes they live out in the middle of nowhere with no one else around because they are experiencing the oneness with their own soul. So you can't assume that just because somebody is living out in the middle of nowhere with no one else around, that it means that they are trying to get away from everybody. It could be that they're trying to experience everybody. And sometimes you have to get away from people to experience people. Just one of the interesting aspects of life. So when you look at your story, look at all the things that are tied up in it. Look at all the beliefs that you have that have created the story. Because there's so much interconnection in there. And see how your beliefs are actually directing you, conditioning you, programming you, whatever terminology works for you. Because they do definitely have an impact on who you are being. Once you understand a little about where you are coming from, then you can start clearing it out, releasing it, letting it go. Because you don't have to live story. And it's okay for you to be who you are, to be more than a story. And I guess that's what my guidance is teaching me, how to let go and to be more than just some story that I've made up. And sometimes it feels really strange. Sometimes it feels really, really good. There's a certain freedom in letting yourself really see yourself. And there's even more freedom in letting go of who you believe you have been. You know, it's like this big dance and everybody knows their part and everybody plays their part and they do exactly what's expected of them. And then there's this room filled with music and you get to do whatever you want. And you have the complete freedom to just move as you have decided to move. So that's what we all have a choice about. When we are creating our stories, we get to decide what's important to us. We get to decide what it is we want to experience in this lifetime. We also get to decide what it is we don't want to experience in this lifetime. And so you create what feels right for you. And then if you decide that what you've created is not necessarily what you actually want, then you get to create something different. You get to change your mind. Because it is your mind. And nobody else can change it. That's strictly you. So if you want to know what your stories are and you're not sure, ask your family. Ask them what kind of stories you tell. Ask your friends what you say about yourself, how you describe your day, your life, your whatever it is. That's all your story. If you keep a diary or a journal, read it. That's all your story, too. We tell our stories in so many different ways. And it's time for us to start becoming aware of the stories we are telling, the stories we are creating, the stories we are being. And we're never, ever stuck with our stories. Because you can always change it. You can always change it in any moment, in any second. You made it up, so it's yours. And it's really no different from the stories that you read out of a book. It's just as fictitious as those are. It may be a little hard for you to accept that, but it's still true. That's why if two people experience the exact same thing, let's say that two people sat down and they watched a television show, and then afterwards you took them and separated them and had each one tell you about the show, you would get two different stories. Because everyone is processing everything that they experience through everything that they've ever gone through. So if you were a little kid and something happened and you decided that, you know, all black and white dogs are scary, then if you're watching a show and there's a black and white dog, then a part of you is saying, oh my gosh, that's the scary dog. Whether you know it or not, that is going on in you, in your head, in your memories, wherever. And it's changing your perception of what's on the screen. It doesn't matter whether the dog on the screen actually does anything to hurt anybody or not. It's the cutest, most adorable dog in the world. You are creating based on what you believe. Be aware of what you actually believe. Be aware of who you're going to be. And if you don't like it, then you can change it. You can release those old beliefs. And it doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't have to be complicated. And you don't have to jump through hoops in order to do it. It can be as simple as noticing that you have this belief. Let's say the belief about the black and white talk. And just take a moment and let everything connected with that belief come up in your mind. You don't evaluate it. You don't judge it. Just letting it come up. And once it's fully come up, and if there's any attached tensions in your body or whatever, you let that come up too. And then you ask yourself, could I let this go? And then the answer is either yes or no. And if the answer is yes, imagine that it's in some bubble and just see it drifting off over the horizon. Or you can imagine that it's going into some kind of metaphysical fire. Or you can see it, you know, getting tossed into the ocean and being swept out to sea. Whatever works for you as far as letting it go. If you have to have a vision to go with it, then create one that works for you and have that vision. But when you make that decision and you say, yes, I can let it go, then let it go. And if you say, no, I can't let it go, then don't let it go. Or you might ask yourself, can I let it go just for this moment? Just that one little moment. And if the answer is yes, then let it go. And if you ever want to bring it back, you can always bring it back because you are the one who is in control. You're the one making the decisions. You're the one creating your life. We give our power away. So often we give our power away. And it's really not necessary. I was being guided this morning to look at my life and to look at all of the different ways that I've given my power away. And it took me back to being a baby, to realizing that from the moment I was born, I was taught to give my power to my parents. Because, you know, your parents want to take care of you, they want to protect you, they want to keep you safe. And it works so much better if you actually do what they tell you to do. At least that's what they believe. And I can understand that. But it made me aware of how I had been taught from the moment I was born to let them be the ones in control. And it made it very difficult when I became an adult, you know, legally making my own decisions, because I didn't think I could make decisions. I wasn't taught that I'd have the ability to make good decisions. It was something I had to learn for myself, something that most people have to learn for themselves once they become adults. And it just tickles me sometimes when I hear parents talking about their children who are 18, 19, actually anything below the age of 25. And they talk about how they're adults now. They should be making their own decisions. They should be taking responsibility, and they're just not doing it. And I realized that we don't teach them how to do it. We don't start, you know, before they finish high school, asking them to make decisions and reminding them that they are capable of making excellent decisions. We don't do that. So if you have teenage children, I would encourage you to start showing them how to make decisions. Start showing them how they make good decisions already. So that when they reach that age where they become adults legally, they don't have to go through that "I can't make a decision" stage. They already know that they can make a decision. They already are stepping forward in their lives and taking their power back. I have members of my family who are well past the age where you would think that they know that they make good decisions. And we're talking about people who are old enough to be grandparents, great-great-grandparents, you know. And they still don't know that they know how to make a decision. So it's not something that just happens with those late teens, early 20 people. It can go on a whole lifetime if you let it. It's part of the story you create, the story about you and what you can and cannot do. It's time to start stepping away from our stories and just letting things go. So I found it very freeing to start letting those choices that I made before the age of 2 go. Choices that I wasn't even aware that I had made when I made them. And now here I am in my 50s and I'm saying, okay, I can make my own decisions now. And it's funny to realize that I never fully allowed myself to believe that before this morning. I wasn't even aware that I didn't believe it. The wonderful thing about looking at yourself and looking at your life and looking at your stories to see what it is you've been creating. Because it also reminded me that I have older siblings who were also teaching me that they know more than I do. And I realize now that they don't. They may be older, but that doesn't really guarantee that anybody's any wiser. But that was part of what I was taught. I was taught that someone's older than you, then they know more than you do. And boy, I've been shown that that's not true time after time after time. But I never really let it go. So it's time to let those things go. That's a part of our awakening. That's a part of becoming the truth of who we are. It's letting go of all those false beliefs. And we have millions and millions of false beliefs. And I'm sitting here now, and it's a lovely day in Oklahoma, and there's a thunderstorm that's rolling through. And I have my friend's dog, who's been living with me for almost a year now, and she is afraid of thunderstorms. And see, I can listen to the thunder, see the lightning, and know that I'm okay. I don't have to be afraid. But because of her past experiences, she believes that this means that she needs to hide. She needs to be afraid. So once the thunder started, she came in here where I am. And she was in a different room, laying there sound asleep. Now she's laying right by my feet. And she's very alert, really noticing the thunder. Because that's her story, that she has to be careful. Because that thunder will get her. Oftentimes, we have stories that we aren't even really aware that we are living. They've become a habit. and we still maintain them. Opening up to allowing yourself to see your story, allowing yourself to release your story. It's a wonderful part of your awakening. And I really encourage you to give it a go. It won't make your life worse. Unless, of course, that's part of your story. But it'll bring you more freedom. More freedom to just be. More freedom to breathe. More freedom to be in the energy of what you actually desire to have in your life. I was reading a message last week that was talking about we are the ones who decide, you know, exactly what we're going to experience, what we're going to have in our lives. And for a lot of people, they have beliefs about, and if you have a belief that says, okay, what I really want is to be wealthy, that's wonderful. Excellent place to start. So then look at how you are being about wealth. Do you find yourself angry or having negative opinions about people with money? If you do, then you have a conflicting belief within you, because part of you says, I want to be wealthy, and part of you obviously thinks that wealthy people are not good people. So you might want to let go of that wealthy people are not good people belief, because otherwise, when the wealth comes into your life, you will not keep it. You will self-sabotage. You will figure out some way to get the money out because you believe that wealthy people are not good people. And we all want to be good people. That's part of our story. So you need to be in the energy of what you are actually desiring to have in your life. So if you're desiring wealth, then you have to be comfortable in the energy of wealth. You have to be comfortable with other people having wealth. And you have to be comfortable with the whole idea of wealth. Once you achieve that, then there's absolutely no reason why wealth isn't going to be a part of your life, because that will be the energy that you are living in. Also notice that if you think about wealth and wealthy people, what you feel is jealousy. Jealousy is not the energy of what you are actually looking to have in your life. Jealousy does not bring you money. It actually keeps it away. We have all of these stories that we've built up around all of these different things in our lives. And in clearing out those stories, we actually start allowing in what we desire. But if you don't let go of the stories, then how's anything supposed to change? We really are the ones who create what we experience. We really do. And we do that by what we think, by what we feel, by what energy we are a vibrational match for. That's what the whole law of attraction thing is about the energy that you are vibrating in. If you are wanting more and more abundance in your life and you are vibrating in the energy of lack, then you are not bringing yourself abundance. You can't. It's not the energy that you are in. So you have to release those beliefs and change your vibration in order to attract into your life what you actually want. And that's what Gandhi was talking about when he said, be the change that you want to see in the world. Be in the vibration of the energy that you want in your life, being stuck in your story. It makes all the difference in the world. And the more you release, the more freedom you actually give to yourself. The freedom to have your desires come to fruition. The freedom to manifest what it is you actually want. And it gives you the freedom to get out of wanting and into being. And those are two different energies as well. Because the energy of wanting says, I don't have something. The energy of being says, I have it. And those are two totally different places to be. So get to know your story. And if you want to, write it down. And then start letting it go. And I found it's interesting when I'm working with some people and we are working on changing their story, releasing the old stuff. And I can actually sometimes feel in them, in their solar plexus area, the fear that they won't know who they will be if they let go of the stories. That's really real. We actually have this fear that we won't know who we'll be if we stop being who we thought we were. But that's just another thing to release. That's just another thing to let go of. Don't let that stop you from moving forward with who you are becoming. It's just a fear. You created that fear. It's only as real as you decide that it is. It's not something that you should let keep you from moving forward. So you can release that fear. And you can release it the same way you release any fear. Let yourself feel it. Let whatever images come up in your mind about it. Feel the tension in your body. Whatever it's showing you. Let it be exactly as it is. Don't try to change it. Don't try to fight it. Don't try to stop it. Just accept it exactly as it is. And then ask yourself, can I let this go? And if the answer is yes, see it drifting away. See it turning into a cloud of smoke. Take a deep breath and imagine you're blowing it out of your body. Whatever works for you as far as letting it go, let it go. And let it go with the knowing that you do not ever have to take it back. And it can be completely gone. Now, I will tell you that there are some beliefs that you might have to let go of several times. Because there might be part of you that are saying, no, I'm not going to let this go. And you might actually have to let those voices within you, those parts of you, go as well. Because if they're hanging on to fear, they are not serving your highest good. But it's okay. You have got the rest of your life to let this stuff go. So it's not like you have to let everything go right now, in this minute. And if you did, you wouldn't know what to do with yourself. You'd be a complete utter mess. So it's okay if you take years to clear things out. It's important that you actually start. And that seems to be the most difficult part for so many people. They look at their lives, they decide they want to make changes. They have such a hard time starting. So start small. start small and just notice the little things that you don't particularly enjoy right now. And start letting them go. And that's it. That's really all there is to it. And if you decide that you need someone to help you do this, if this is not something that you want to do on your own, then find someone to help you. If you have a friend that also wants to clear things out of their own life, then you guys can work together. You can be each other's support. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't have to be expensive. But you do actually have to do it. It's not something that anybody else can do for you. It's your life. It's your choice. And you just need to learn how to let it go. So I'm going to let you guys go a little early this week because, like I said, the thunderstorm is rolling through. So I will be back on Tuesday. I hope everyone has a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Thanks so much for listening. And feel free to check out my website at divinelyguidedhealing.com. There's lots of free information there. There's even information on releasing. And if you have any questions, then just send me an email, and I'll get back to you. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye-bye.